Father in heaven, we do ask that for Jesus' sake, your word may be of blessing to us as it's read today, as we receive it in our ears and in our hearts, we pray by your Spirit. May there be clarity and faithfulness. May it be something relevant to, Father, as we take your truths and understand them in our times. And then may we be able to receive that, Father, and make use of that as we respond to your word in faith, as we are called then as those in faith to serve you, to follow the shepherd, and to live in the hope of the gospel. We pray, Father, that you'd accept our prayers to these ends in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to be taking a look one more time out of the Gospel of John, and we're going to go over to chapter 21 and read verses 15 through 23. If you haven't been with us, we took a look at a couple of different passages from John 20, one on Easter Sunday, one last week. Now we're looking at the next chapter, looking at a portion here from John chapter 21, and we're reading verses 15 through 23. We heard earlier in the offertory, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And this is a calling here from the good shepherd to Peter, who's being reinstated here, to be a devoted shepherd, which means being devoted to Christ, but also to be devoted to Christ's sheep as well. And so we hope we can learn some lessons from this ourselves by God's blessing. We look at John chapter 21, starting with verse 15, and we read through the verse 23. There it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who had been reclining at table close to him and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? We thank the Lord for his word today and glad that we can have the privilege of its ministry today as well. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's the boys or girls or any of us, it almost seems, doesn't it, like a kind of a rule of law almost, that when, and not that this should be like this, but that there are times that if you have to tell somebody something three times, that by the time you get to the third time of saying it, you get annoyed, or the other person who's asking you to say it again the third time gets a little bit anxious because they were afraid to ask something for the third time, because they're afraid maybe the person that they're asking must think they're deaf or something. Right? I mean, if the boys and girls are together and one of them's asking their sister, you know, or their brother, do you know where the football is? And you say, well, it's in the garage. And then they ask you that again. Well, you can say, well, maybe you didn't hear me the first time. It's in the garage. And then they ask you again, and you say, it's in the garage. Right? Try to be patient, right? But you wonder if they need to go get their ears cleaned out, right? You get annoyed by that. You might even get mad. There is a temptation not to say it nicely because they've asked three times. But Jesus asks Peter something here three times. Peter's grieved by it too. So it must have been a little bit of that kind of thing back in those days too. But Jesus had a reason to ask it three times. Because he wanted to make it clear to Peter that if you really do love Jesus, then you're going to love his church. And you will want to follow him everywhere and in everything he tells you. We may not like it if we have to ask somebody three times something because we're afraid to do that. Or if somebody asks us something three times. But when we look at Jesus, we should remember that what he asks three times was a good thing to ask. Because he wants to make clear to us how important it is for us to love him for what he has done first for us in love. So Jesus, no matter what age we might be, is calling people today and asking, do you love me? And are we going to hear and answer that question the way we ought? Yes, Lord, I love you because you first loved me. We look at this reinstatement of Peter this morning by Jesus, and we find ourselves here again. I say that oftentimes, but we can find ourselves in this passage. We ought to be able to do that, and I think we will. It's a passage that speaks about the wondrous shepherding of Christ. It speaks about the calling to devotion that's needed to lead the church of Jesus Christ. And so we want to consider then, as we look at this passage, the making of a devoted shepherd. There's a connection here, as we see, between loving Jesus and loving the church. It's something that really can't be missed, because Jesus asks about Peter's love for him and always answers by saying, if you love me, you'll love his people. If you're going to be a part of me, you're going to be part of his church. And so we look at how Peter's been called to this. He's called to be a shepherd like that of his good shepherd, devoted to Christ, devoted to his people. So we look, first of all, at the devotion to Christ. The episode is viewed as Peter's restoration because Jesus asks Peter three times to profess his love for him, which, of course, is the exact same number of times that Peter denied the Lord prior to the resurrection. Now, being restored to Christian fellowship is one thing. Knowing what one is to do once one is restored is something else entirely. And we have seen, of course, many threes, right? I don't want to say that that's the only reason that I picked this, because we were looking at all kinds of threes. But we've been looking at a lot of threes. We looked at Mary Magdalene's three stages. We've seen the three crosses. We have heard about the three denials of Peter. We know that Pontius Pilate, said three times that Jesus was entirely righteous. Well, here we get another set of three. And all of these threes are meant to emphasize points. And this three emphasizes a calling to a loving devotion by Peter for Jesus. Denying Christ was no small matter. And it still isn't. It seems easy to do, but it's no small matter. And loving Christ is no small matter. And we see that, of course, Peter was weeping when he denied, after all. He recognized that. Not everybody recognizes that, of course. But Peter did. The church needs to realize these things along with Peter, that not only is denying Christ no small matter, you know, you grow up in the church and you just say, well, I've had enough of that stuff, I'm leaving. But loving Christ is no small matter either. Peter, after all, had said before his denial that even if everybody else would forsake him, forsake Christ, that is, he wouldn't. He was going to be different than everybody else. And so now Jesus asked him, do you love me more than these disciples do, these other people? And at least in this way, in this point, now later on he has a little bit of trouble with this, but at least at this point, Peter is recognizing that it's no time for me to be comparing myself with anybody else anymore. Because he's been humbled that way. He's not going to dwell on himself anymore, at least not at this point. He's going to rather dwell on the power of Christ. And so he says, you know, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus is making a shepherd out of Peter, obviously. Three times being told, 10, love, feed my sheep, my lambs. And a shepherd of Christ's sheep is not supposed to be a pretender. And he's not supposed to be a phony. And he's not supposed to be a fake. And he's not supposed to be somebody who is one way in public and another way in private. And he's not supposed to glory in his cleverness or how much smarter he thinks he is than somebody else or about all his abilities or strength or that he claims superiority over other people. Peter's learning this lesson about what it is to be a shepherd. He's being called to humility. And he knows full well then his sin, his limitations, his shortcomings. And he's being called then on the carpet and being told, you love yourself, and are you going to brag about you? Or are you going to brag about me? And though Peter must go through this exercise three times to grieve, he has to do that to understand that loving Christ is utterly important. It's expected. It's altogether right, especially when we consider what Christ alone has done for him, what he has done like nobody else could do. Peter denied Christ before the cross and the resurrection, and that was wrong, but he thought he could be the Christ. But he couldn't. And now the resurrected Christ is standing by him, the one who alone could save him. And now that he's been raised and now that he's gone to the cross, Peter is being told and he is confessing that loving Christ with devotion, not just saying, I'll be part of the church, you bet, you know, I'm going to be right there, you know, right out there somewhere. Yeah, Christ is okay, but I'm not going to get too worked up about him. Now, he's recognizing, you know, loving him with devotion is the very least you could do. It's the very least we all could do. It's not to be sitting there with a lukewarm milquetoast mentality about Christ and his church. But to love him with devotion. And of course, people as well. Jesus' call isn't just for Peter, you see. It's a question that he asks everybody. Right? Do you love me? Do you see what I've done for you? Are you going to take me lightly or aren't you? Because people will. Or are you going to devote yourself to me? Are you going to be a person that's going to say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me? Christ is asking for our love. He's calling us to it. Doesn't matter what age we are. Doesn't matter what place in the world where we live, what roles we have. He asks for our love. He calls it to us. He calls us to it in the way that shows that we have an appreciation for his devotion to us. Will you be devoted because of his devotion? That's what Jesus is asking Peter. That's what he's asking us. So that devotion's deep. But considering what Christ has done, you just can't expect anything less from his follower. Because Peter's being called to follow Christ all the way to death, a Christ-like death, having his hands stretched out in crucifixion. And that's because a devoted shepherd like Jesus, and anybody who wants to follow him, has to be willing to sacrifice to that extent. And that's a sobering thought. Peter even finds out that he will suffer that way. You know, I'm sure anybody that's known anybody in the nursing homes or people who have been in the nursing homes, when you hear something like what you hear Jesus saying here, you know, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. When you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go. Anybody who's been in a nursing home, sees people in nursing homes, knows people in nursing homes, are in nursing homes, can relate to that illustration. When they were young, nobody had to tie their shoes, put on their clothes. They could go about and do whatever they wanted. But now other people have to lead them and help them. With that commonplace illustration, Jesus tells people, that's going to happen, tells Peter, I should say, that this is going to happen to him. The length to which he is going to have to go to complete his service as a shepherd of God's sheep here on earth. Even the crucifixion. And in that way, he reflects Jesus. And that tells us something about this flock that he has to tend. And it tells us something about the office that he's got to hold. Because we're tempted to think that holding office in the Church of Jesus Christ is kind of like holding an office in the city council or the Senate or the legislature or some board of volunteers or trustees. Not to underestimate that work at all, because those are things that are weighty works. But those kinds of works don't demand that people give up their lives for their offices. And that's the weightiness of church office. You know, and that's why we want to pray for those in those positions, right? That's why we want to be of help to them. We don't want to make their life more miserable. It's weighty enough. But that's because people in office that way are called to imitate Christ. You're called to be an example to the flock. You're called to protect the precious flock of Christ. And so, you know, it testifies not only to the weightiness of the office, but to the significance of the church, which we all need to appreciate. It shows how important such an office is, whether it's an apostle or an elder or a deacon. The weighty positions they have. And we may not have an appreciation for the depth of that weightiness like Peter had to have it, or that maybe somebody in the Sudan might, or in China, or days long ago, like a Guido de Bray, like we've been looking at on Sunday nights, you know, who ends up dying for his faith in Europe. Church doesn't always take on such a drama for us. You know, John Bunyan was, some of you know John Bunyan. John Bunyan was the person who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. You know why he wrote that story? You know when he began writing that story? He began writing that story as a means to entertain his children when they came to visit him in jail. And he wrote most of it during his second stay in jail on the brown paper covers that his wife used as stoppers on milk jugs that she brought to him in prison so he'd have something to feed himself. And while John Bunyan was in prison for 12 years, his wife sold shoelaces that she made so she could support the family that they had, which included four children. That was like from 1660 to 1672. You know, when I read that, I have nothing to complain about. You know? We may not be afflicted to that extent. We may not have to die as office bearers or for the sake of Christ. But whether we do or don't, the question is, do you love Christ that much? That you would, if you had to, die? And are his sheep that precious to you that you would die for them? That was to be the measure of Peter's devotion. But then he asked Jesus about John. You know, he's the one here that's the one that Jesus, they said that he loved. They have a special bond that he had. Remarkable thing in itself. But you're telling me that I'm not going to die of natural causes. But what about him? So why does Peter ask that? Why does he say to him, Lord, just trying to find the verse here. He saw Jesus, he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, the one who had been reclining. And he said, Lord, who is it? And he saw the one who had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? And then when Peter saw him, he said to him, Lord, what about this man? And that's it. What about John? Now, at the least, he's curious. But whatever the reasons, Peter's dabbling here where he had no business. John makes that clear to us, mentioning this twice. Jesus mentions this as he responds to Peter. Because what was important for Peter was not to be concerned about how differently somebody else's life was going to turn out. He was supposed to be focused on what was important and what he knew. And that was that he was to follow the Lord Jesus. And that gets mentioned, by the way, a couple of times here too. Follow me. Peter needed to focus on his calling. If I want him to live until he comes again, what is that to you? You follow me. Peter needed to be focused on his calling and not on curiosities. How come these things happen to me? And they don't happen to them. How come he gets all the breaks? And I don't get any. How come he gets these privileges? How come he gets to enjoy these things? And I don't get any of them. How come he gets a long life and I don't? How come he never loses anything? Everything he does, touches that he touches, turns to gold. And I get the short end. Well, we all, you know, we have to recognize, don't we? We don't all have the same experience in life. Sometimes the cultural engineers of our world like to try to make it so that everybody has exactly the same thing that everybody else does. We're all going to be equal. Good luck with that. Because we don't all have the same experience in life. Every one of you and me, we all have a different turnout that way. It's undeniable. And you're not going to change that. God doesn't tell us either how long we'll live or others you know. He doesn't whisper into your ear and say, this is how things are going to turn out with your family. And this is how much money you're going to make. And this is how smooth you're going to have it. Or this is how rough you're going to have it. He doesn't do that. But what God has told us through his Christ is this. You follow me. You follow me. You be an imitator of my son, the chief shepherd of the sheep. You devote yourself to his way. That's your business. Heed the call of salvation, the call to devotion. Make Christ important in your life. Make the church part of your life. And quit comparing yourself to other people. And quit complaining about how others have it better than you. That's what our world does all the time. Be content in knowing that I am the good shepherd who knows you by name. And when you hear my voice, follow me. Mind your own business, says the Lord to Peter and to us. Mind what you know, not the secret things of God. That's not your business to know. Mind what you do know, that you're supposed to follow me. For Peter, for everybody who's an office bearer, for everybody in the church called to be examples of their leaders and of Christ, that love for Christ, the following him, includes the love for his church. Every time Christ asked Peter whether or not he loved him or not, Peter said yes, and then Jesus said something about taking care of his sheep or his lambs. You know, you can ask a lot of people today, do you love Christ? Oh yeah, I love Christ. They believe in Christ? You bet I do. I believe in Christ. You bet. But do you love his church? Remember Jesse Ventura? He used to be governor of Minnesota. And somebody asked him once if he believed in Christ because he thought Christians were weak-willed, weak-minded people. And he said, sure, I believe in Christ in my understanding of what that means. See, that's the nice thing, isn't it? Loving Christ has become that to people a lot of times. Loving Christ according to my standard. I don't crack my Bible open to see what it says about it. I just love Christ according to my standard, not Christ. And Christ says to leaders, you know, if you love me, you're going to feed and tend my lambs. Of course, the Bible's filled with that shepherding theme. Jesus is called the good shepherd because he calls the sheep, he leads them, he directs them, he feeds them, carries them, finds them, knows them, protects them, heals them, gathers them, sacrifices them, and they belong to him. Now, Peter couldn't do all those things that the chief shepherd could do. But he found out the hard way by denial that he couldn't do those things. Only Christ can live, give his life for the sheep and save them from the wrath of God and the power of sin. Only Christ owns the sheep. But in Christ's wondrous wisdom, he entrusts his sheep to the care of others. And it doesn't matter those people's intellectual prowess. It doesn't matter if they've got 15,000 letters behind their name and they're the doctor of this and that and the other thing. Or that they run some country or they run some corporation. It doesn't matter the age in which they live. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. The people of God in Jesus Christ are still sheep and lambs. And they need to be shepherded. Because if they're not, they are, as the Word of God says, helpless. And they need to be fed, not just by bread, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And they need to be directed and protected so that the wolves won't come and destroy them. And they need to be gathered and found and sought, because sheep are wayward creatures. Shepherds need to find the sheep. Sheep need to be known so that they can be shepherded properly. You got to know what they're all about. They need care because they're precious in the eyes of the chief shepherd. They need to be loved. They need the devotion of shepherds rather than hired hands that don't care for them. Now, if as a leader or prospective leader of the church, you're going to say you love Christ, you also need to say that you love his sheep. Right? You do that by imitating the shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. But if that's true about shepherds, who are supposed to be examples to the flock, isn't that the way the flock's supposed to be to itself? You know, if you say you love Christ, and if I say that, that needs to show by loving his people. Jesus makes it so clear. Do you love me? Then what about my people? You need to imitate me, says Christ. Because those who love Christ support his sheep, they forgive them, sacrifice for them, they commune with them. They don't sit there and say, church is a bunch of hypocrites. I want nothing to do with them. Who made you king? Who made you King Jesus? What does the Word of God say? No, we're to help them, we're to protect them, we're to care for them, love them. If you think there's a problem in the church, be part of the solution. That's what Peter was called to be. That's what God's people are called to be. Peter's called to be devoted to Christ and devoted to his sheep. And that's as an example so that everybody thinks that way. That you're devoted to Christ and you're devoted to his sheep. Yeah, that makes for a devoted shepherd. It's the kind of shepherd Christ was. It's in that spirit that he tends his flock so that he may share his devotion. That's what Peter was to call to be. Devoted to Christ. Devoted to his sheep. And that devotion is your calling, and it's my calling in Jesus Christ as long as we live. See, it's no wonder then that Jesus would ask the question and then give that command. Do you love me? Okay, if you say yeah, then shepherd my sheep, feed my lambs. Be devoted to me, be devoted to one another. Amen. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, it's good to be able to hear from your word, this many different lessons that we could gain from it. We're glad for the devotion of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that that devotion may show itself, Father, in both church leadership and church membership. A desire to be devoted to you, to your Son, and to your people. Not lukewarm towards Christ, not on the fringe in the church, but a devotion, Lord, what Christ has done, a marveling in it, and a desire to say, here I am, how can I help? What ways can I be a part of this fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ in such a devotion that it shows that I'm like Jesus was, devoted to his sheep? And it helps to answer that question, too, about whether we're devoted to Christ or not. We're devoted to his sheep. So help us, Lord, all to follow in this way. Whether we're leaders, members, no matter what age we are, may we hear Christ calling us. Do you love me? And if we do, that we'd love his people as well. We'd ask that you'd hear us in Christ's name. Amen.